Hi, welcome to Mouse Chat for Friday, July 29th, 2011. I'm Lisa, and joining me today are Chris, Bob, and Steve. Welcome.
Hi. Hey, Lisa.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
On today's show, we will be bringing you news from around Disney, and I don't think we have any listener questions, so that will be it.
But we have one.
I don't have it.
I do.
Okay, we have one listener question today. We don't have any announcements, so we're going to jump right into news, and then we're going to go into our main topic. Our main topic today is kids and their first trip to Walt Disney World Resort. So let's jump right into the news, and Bob, why don't you grab a story and go first?
Okay. Two stories. The first out of Disney World is that Disney has decided to cancel ESPN The Weeknds. Effective immediately. So this year's ESPN The Weeknds were the last one. So this was an annual event that took place in early February and involved live broadcast and sports stars coming down and things of that nature. But Disney basically has come to the conclusion that they want to move in a different direction, and they have promised that with the new collaboration of ESPN and Disney's Wide World of Sports, they are going to be bringing new and exciting events in the alternative to Walt Disney World. So for big fans who were drawn to that event every year, you know, sad to see it go, but, you know, more stuff to come in the future, hopefully. And then the other story comes right down the road from Disney at Universal. Universal and Warner Brothers are partnering together to hold a weekend this fall dedicated to the Harry Potter movies. A celebration of the Harry Potter films is scheduled for November 11th through 13th at Universal's Islands of Adventure. a couple of events going on during this special weekend is the AMC Cineplex at Universal City Walk is going to be showing all eight Potter films, including the recently released Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2. There's also going to be question and answer sessions with filmmakers and cast members. Packages start at $369 per person and include four nights of accommodations off-site at the Quality Inn on International Drive, and perks such as early admission to the Wizarding World of Harry Potter and a Harry Potter Blu-ray set of all the movies. If you want to do the pricier package, which starts at $699 a person, that includes, again, off-site accommodations at the same hotel, the Quality Inn on International Drive, and then you also get a special nighttime gala event in the Wizarding World, breakfast at the Three Broomsticks, and a reservation for an autograph session with cast from the films. No word yet on which, you know, celebrities will be there. Tickets do go on sale at noon on Sunday. It is expected to sell out and sell out very, very quickly. So for more information, visit www.universalorlando.com/celebration.
Now, the price on that seems pretty pricey for the Quality Inn.
I would agree, yeah.
I would
but
expect,
it's still going to sell out.
Yeah. So well, the movie thing sounds cool. The extra lectures sound cool.
Well, and the movies are not included in that price either, is my understanding. So if you want to see the films.
Right. I wouldn't expect it to be included.
Okay. You know, and it's not clear to me. It sounds like, you know, the packages start at $369 per person, but they haven't released any information as far as what packages would cost to stay on site. So I'm sure it's probably an option, but obviously you're going to pay, you know, a lot more, I would think. But yeah, I would fully expect it to sell out and sell out on Sunday.
We still haven't been to the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. We have to get over there.
Well, we spend way too much time at Disney. We just don't have the time to go over there. We'll have to force it.
And with the little kids.
You know what? We could escape for a weekend and maybe get a sitter and go down literally for 2 days and that's it. One night, 2 days?
You could do that. You guys are close enough.
We're close enough. And, you know, I feel bad about even contemplating going on vacation without the kids, but it's a possibility.
See, that's the first thing you need to get rid of, is the feeling bad about going on vacation without the kids. If you have grandparents or somebody who'll step in, I say go for it.
Yeah, but we do enjoy traveling with them, and I just don't think this is something that they're going to get much out of. I don't mind.
I was just going to say, yeah.
You know, standing in line for 2 hours.
Yeah, there's not much there for them, and if they don't really know the books.
Right.
And if you go into that area, it's so crowded that with little kids, like I felt fine with Eric because he's 8, but I don't know that I'd want the twins sort of running around, you know, not without a stroller at least. And then, of course, then you're totally...
Forget it.
Yeah. So the thing that's nice about Universal is the annual passes are very inexpensive. So we actually got annual passes the last time I was down because we thought, you know, let's just go back again. Because, you know, what it costs to have an annual pass, it's like a couple of park admissions. So,
yeah, that's nice when they do that.
And you get discounts on darn near everything. I mean, every counter service practically, you know, you can get a discount and every shop there is
yeah,
you know,
that
you
is
get a
nice.
Discount on. So, it is very nice. But I would agree. I mean, Islands of Adventure in general is not a place where little kids are going to get much out of it, because outside of Seuss Landing, you've got a lot of bigger rides that, you know, just due to height restrictions, they're not going to be able to do.
Yeah, and Amber does appreciate those. She likes to go on the bigger rides. She'll do Rock and Roller Coaster and Tower of Terror and Space Mountain, but I just see Universal as something she needs to do in a couple of years to really appreciate.
Especially when she gets into the books for Harry Potter, because mm-hmm. she will get into those in a couple years. So,
well, I remember she did see the movies. She saw most of the movies when she was a lot younger, but it was so much younger that she didn't really understand what she was seeing.
Yeah.
So it's honestly been 2 or 3 years since she's seen any movies of his and of Harry's, not hers. And I don't think she's going to remember anything about it. And she watches Wizards of Waverly Place, so to her, that's what wizarding is all about.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Disney will come back and do a Wizards of Waverly Place restaurant or something. They'll do the substation.
My son is just now getting into all those shows. Some of them are not, they're reasonably entertaining.
I think they are. I watch them with her. There are a lot of shows. She wants me to watch shows with her, and there are a lot of shows that I just won't, you know, forget it. I can't sit through this. But yeah. Other shows, you know, Wizards, I'll watch Wizards. And Good Luck Charlie, only because it reminds me of Brooke. And
Phineas and Ferb.
Oh, yeah, Phineas and Ferb. We watched
My
that
kids
last
do
night.
Not. My kids don't get into that. I wish they did.
Oh, Phineas and Ferb is awesome.
Yeah. It's one of those shows you can watch with your kids and you're getting entertained at the same time.
Yeah. Well, it's like some of the Disney movies that come out. There's a little bit of adult humor in there, something that the kids just aren't going to get.
It's not so bad as it is like Shrek. Like, to me, the Shrek movies were a little too adult for my kids. I mean, they still saw them, but I was kind of like, okay, that's inappropriate.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of flatulence and stuff.
Yeah, well, we don't mind that, you know.
Oh, okay, so that wasn't the problem.
I have boys. Come on, that's like, you know, that's their main source of humor.
Humor 101.
And unfortunately, my daughter thinks that way too, so she's going to be really popular.
Yeah. Okay. But anyway,
so
how did we even get here?
I have no idea.
Well, I was talking about the big event, and you mentioned not having been to Wizarding World of Harry Potter. But yeah, I mean, if you haven't been, it's probably not the weekend to go because it's going to be overrun by...
Yeah, it'll just be crazy. You know, there are fans, and then there are just crazy people. I think the crazies are going to come out.
Yeah, that's like Star Wars weekend. You know, you could tell there were people at the parks who weren't usual park goers. They were like there for Star Wars weekend, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and even on any given day there, it's amazing to walk through Wizarding World of Harry Potter and, you know, see people essentially in costume. And I give credit to anybody that can put on a heavy robe, you know, in 95-degree heat and 100% humidity. you know, and
still enjoy themselves.
Yeah, stand in a line for a couple hours and enjoy themselves. So, and you do a lot of waiting there. I mean, you know, you'll wait half an hour for Butterbeer. You'll wait, you know, 80 minutes, 2 hours to get into Forbidden Journey. You'll wait 2 hours to get into the wand shop.
Wow. So. They hit it big with that one.
Yeah, it's massive and
but they did it right and they did it well.
Yeah, and you know, clearly, you know, the end of, you know, the Harry Potter series, you know, the last film doesn't signify the end of.
Don't say anything. I'm not caught up.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying that you know, it clearly doesn't mean the end of, you know, everything Harry Potter and
oh no.
You know, not to derail this, but, you know, it looks like there may be like a multiplayer online world eventually down the line, which I think would be, you know, really huge.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So, anyway, it's kind of off topic, but.
Well, that's what
that's
we do best.
Yes.
Okay. So back to news. Chris, have you got something?
I do.
Okay. Fire away.
You know what's weird? I actually was going to steal Steve's, but let me do my own here.
Okay.
Which one?
The one. Okay, we can't use this. For some reason, I forgot that mine was actually Cinderella Castle, and so I did all the reading for that situation with that lady. But don't worry, I can join
you can
in
help,
the conversation.
You can help fill in.
Yeah, sorry about that. I don't know. I'm just like losing it tonight. Okay. All right. Do we want to start over?
No, I
no,
like
just
this.
Keep going.
Do you really? Okay. Thanks. I love to be humiliated. Okay, so my story is, you want to talk about rapping?
Do a rap for us.
Yeah, no, you know, that's never going to happen. Okay, because I don't sing or dance. So mine is on Cinderella's Castle. It caught fire. Actually, it wasn't a fire. I guess there was like a little electrical fire on the 19th. And it was in of this month, and there was like a little one of the turrets had smoke coming out of it, and only lasted a few minutes. It's on YouTube; you can watch it.
People didn't even. There were small flames.
Yeah, it was like a little.
Oh, there were small
flames.
I just saw the smoke. So
I saw the small flames. It was like somebody was barbecuing up there.
Oh, maybe they were. Maybe it was Tinkerbell.
And then by the time the guy got over to his kids to point it out to him, it was over, and there was no fire and no smoke.
I think Tinkerbell put Jiminy Cricket on the grill.
I was thinking Peter Pan put Tinkerbell on the grill.
She is a little sassy.
Let your conscience be your guard.
Wow. Take that, you obnoxious little bug.
Okay.
So, yes, no injuries and no damage, and business continued as normal. And what's funny about that YouTube video is, you know, I mean, there are flames coming out at one point, and, you know, the music is still going, you know, in the park, and there are just people walking right past the castle, completely oblivious to the fact that, you know, there's a guy up there on a ladder and stuff. And I don't know, I just found that kind of humorous that, you know, not everybody was, you know, people just continued about their day.
Well, in general, if the Orlando Sentinel doesn't hype it up, it's not a big deal. And I don't think it was in the Orlando Sentinel. Usually it's like anything that happens at Disney. You know, they have this big salacious
within
headline.
Like an 80-mile range of Disney.
Yeah. It's so true. Their headlines are always so funny. It's like, you know, person, you know, falls into a pool in St. Cloud. You know, but they somehow blame Disney. I don't know. It's just
right. No. That's I do think that paper has it out for them. And the best one I saw was when they there was a robbery at a store like across the street and a couple miles from downtown Disney. But you know, they got the Disney name in the.
Uh-huh. That's so funny. What is it? You know what I think it is, Bob? Because I remember when I lived in Florida, no one really loved Disney. You know, like none of my friends ever went. I was like the oddball that went. And even my friends who had kids, they didn't take their kids to Disney at all. And I think there's sort of a love-hate thing, obviously, in Central Florida in particular with Disney.
I would agree. Well, I mean, I think you got the old-timers there who remember it before Disney came in.
Right.
And seem to remember it as this wonderful, idealistic place, which, you know.
Full of cows.
Full of cows and like orange groves. And, you know, the main attraction there was Gatorland, which, you know. So I don't know what they're thinking of, but clearly they imagine a much simpler time. And then, you know, if you grew up in Florida, and a lot of people, there are a fair number in Florida who did, you know, they went a lot as kids. And so it's like, you know, no big deal to them. So, yeah, Chris, I'd get the same looks from people as you. Like, you're going, you know, to the theme parks again? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, what is wrong with you?
People would be like, what are you doing this weekend? I'd be like, oh, I'm just going to go to Disney. They're like, really? Because, you know, you live in a college town. There's more to do. You know, I mean, because I was living in Tallahassee. And obviously, you know, if you're in your 20s, there's like a lot of fun things to do. But I was always more interested in going to Disney. So
we're nerds.
Yeah, we are.
A quick trip from Tallahassee down there, too.
Yeah, it's like four and a half hours. Maybe even four. I never drove. I just slept. So,
well, that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Steve likes to drive, apparently, and I'm fine with that. It's good with me.
Yeah, I like to. I just want to get there.
Yeah, he's very rigid on, you know, when we can stop and what we do on the stops. And
this is shocking to me.
I'm sure. I can imagine. But he's, you know, he likes to get there.
I have a stopwatch. I fart everybody out.
It's like he's always going for his own personal best or something.
Uh-huh. 4 minutes to play, 6 minutes to
Well, you get one of those. You get one of those GPS things, and it's like, okay, you're going to be there at 12 noon. And you're like, all right, sweet. And then you hit some traffic, and it's 12:10. So you're always like, it's like you're gambling.
Why it's do like, you right? have a GPS to go to from Atlanta to Orlando? That is amazing. I don't use a GPS anywhere.
Because you can tell what time you're going to get there. You're
so it's like,
oh, I'm going to be there.
Being in a big video game, huh?
Yeah. And then you stop for gas and you're like, oh, no, now I'm going to get there at 12:45 because we went to Wendy's. So then you're trying to make up the time. You're always trying to get back to where you thought you were going to be when you left at 5 a.m.
Wow, that's kind of fun. Maybe I should try one of those. Not.
No, he's constantly, you know, we've got to make up time. And
this is a man after my own heart. Steve, you and I need to take a road trip somewhere.
Yep. I just want to go.
Oh, that would be funny.
That would be scary.
We even got the e-pass?
The sun pass.
The sun pass.
E-pass, sun pass, they call it the same thing. Yeah. You know?
So we got one of those. So, and that's nice because you go down the Florida Turnpike.
That is nice.
Go in the left lane so you don't have to stop for any of the tolls. So it's nice.
Oh, boy. Okay. I think, Steve, you're next.
Okay. So mine is, and I just have the highlights, and I think Chris has all the details. But this week, a woman punched her little one-year-old in the stomach and then kicked her a few times.
Oh.
So she was arrested at Disney World.
Close-fisted punch, making him like bend over. Double over, thank you.
Yeah, it was a little boy. He was only 18 months old.
Ugh, it's awful.
I mean, I can't imagine. I just can't imagine. And apparently a lot of other people couldn't believe what they were seeing either. So,
well, and thank God they reported it. You know, I mean, sometimes people, personally, I am never going to not say something, but I know a lot of people won't. And, you know,
I think with something like that, though, people are going to do the right thing.
When you'd hope.
And I mean, you do hear, I mean, you do see a lot of parents losing their tempers at Disney World, not to that degree. But I think, you know, they spent a lot of money. It's hot. Everybody's tired. By about day 3-4 into your 7-day trip, you know, everybody's had it with one another. Mm-hmm. And tempers are flaring and mom and dad are screaming.
That's why I'm a big fan of having a date night in the middle of your trip or, if possible, staying. You know, that's why I like the villas.
A little kid-free time.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we can get into that with the main
topic,
yeah, we could
guess,
do that.
But.
Good point.
But yeah, I mean, so let this be a lesson, you know, to anyone, don't do that to your child, you know, especially not at the Magic Kingdom. And security is everywhere in the Disney parks, both, you know, plain clothes and, you know, uniformed. And, you know, this woman did get a trip down to the Orange County Jail And you know, she will be making a return appearance to Orlando, and it won't be to visit the theme parks.
Did they let her go back to New Orleans?
Yeah. Okay. She bailed out,
So what's up with the boy?
I believe that he went into custody of I don't know if Department of Children and Families took control. I think he's just with other family members.
Poor little guy.
But yeah, I mean, you have to wonder, did she just snap because of, you know, she's having a really bad day, or this
no,
is
that's
like
not
par
snapping.
For the course?
That is, I think, I would think indicative of a bigger problem. And hopefully she gets some parenting classes and straightens up, you know, because sometimes people do get, I mean, kids, you know, they'll push your buttons. I don't think an 18-month-old can push your buttons personally, but, you know, I mean, she needs to learn how to control her behavior, because she doesn't want her kid to end up in the, you know, foster system.
Right. And to react that way in public,
yeah,
knowing people are around and that it is unacceptable.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, we don't know anything about her.
Right.
I mean, she could be somebody without a lot of good resources and maybe not much education, and some issues of her own. She needs to get help so she can be a good parent.
Right.
You know, and of course, I'd like to.
The booking photo wasn't flattering.
Yeah, I'd really like to punch her myself, but you know what? I mean, you have to kind of push your emotions aside and hope she can become a better person.
Well, she clearly took her child to Disney to have fun, you know, so half a point there.
Or maybe not. I mean, maybe she just took him as an afterthought that she couldn't leave him at home. You know, maybe the trip was more for her.
Yeah.
You know, I unfortunately...
Leave it to Bob.
We unfortunately don't, I guess, I don't know, I shouldn't judge.
There's a lot of speculation. We have no idea.
And I do tend to come down more often on the side of, you know, the defendant than I do the prosecution. just don't do anything stupid. And for anybody thinking of committing any kind of crime inside the Magic Kingdom, you know, yeah, there is a holding cell there where you will sit until, you know, the Orange County sheriffs come and haul you off to the jail down at 33rd Street, and you can rot in there for a while. So you know, don't be stupid. I mean, because now, I mean, you know, she probably spent a whole lot of money on this trip. I can't imagine that Disney's, you know, I kind of wonder how Disney's handling this as far as, you know, you know, are they going to trespass her from the parks, or, you know, that sort of thing? You know,
I would think they kind of have to.
I know, and her family. I mean, they technically have the right to ask them to leave. And then she's gonna spend. I mean, she already put up bail of, you know, she had to.
Her bail was low. It was like what, $30,000?
No, I thought it was $3,000.
It was $2,000. So through a bail bondsman, she only had to put down 10%, so $200.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
But you know, she'll have to hire a lawyer most likely.
Hey, are you available?
Yeah, I am. I mean, I have done criminal defense. This would be kind of a hard case because, you know, there's like a ton of witnesses and, you know, there are cameras in the parks too. So.
There are cameras in the park? Do tell.
Well, I mean, that's just, yeah.
Yeah, I know.
You know, yeah, not a good situation. It's going to end up, you know, I mean, this woman can potentially face some jail time, and depending on what judge she gets assigned to, she likely will.
Yeah. So I worked at the Grand Floridian, and I had a guest check in one time that had stolen credit cards. And I don't remember how it came up, but somehow we noticed that they were stolen, and I got notified as I was checking them in. So I had to delay them until Orange County came. So I like went in the back to get a package that wasn't there or something, and then I came back out.
You're so good at nonchalant stalling.
And then I went to see if I could upgrade their room because they were so nice. And then it was the longest time I had to delay these people. And then I went and I got the front desk manager while I was trying to upgrade their room to get them some drinks and wait with them in the lobby.
That is smooth.
So I bought we bought them some drinks and had them hang out in the lobby while I was upgrading the room until the police came.
At least it was a nice experience until that point. Up to then, it was lovely. They're thinking, "Yeah, we're going to be club level, you know, royal club. Here we come."
If you commit a crime at the Magic Kingdom, you get thrown up above the candy store. But if you do it at the Grand Floridian, at least you get some drinks out of it.
Right.
Wow.
Who would do that? You know, who just checks into a resort with stolen credit cards and doesn't think they're going to get busted?
Well, I mean, don't we recall, what was it, last year, 2 years ago, the woman who claimed that she and her daughter were kidnapped?
Oh, that's right.
Her daughter to Disney World, and I think they checked into the Grand Floridian. And that's where she was found. So
now we know the Grand Floridian is where crazy goes.
Well, I think crazy probably goes everywhere, but it just makes a better story when it goes there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, people, bring your patience, you know, bring your common sense.
Okay, so I think that does it for the news. That does it for news. Let's move on to the main topic. And today we're going to be talking about kids and their first trip to Walt Disney World. And we're going to try and cover all aspects. Let's start with, what is the right age to start taking your kid to Walt Disney World?
I think it depends. I think it depends on, you know, is it going to be a once-in-a-lifetime type trip, or are you not sure whether you're going to be able to come back, or do you know that you're going to be able to come back, you know, maybe every couple of years? If you know you're going to be coming back, I think, you know, there's no problem with bringing them when they're younger, you know, toddler age. And in fact, you know, they enjoy it on a whole different level at that age, I think. If it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing, maybe you wait until the child is a little older, 6, 7, 8, you know, they're taller, they're kind of over their fears that they may have of characters or certain rides or, you know, other attractions, and, you know, maybe get a different sense of enjoyment out of it.
I agree 100%. It does depend on, okay, I agree 90%. I think it does depend on how often they're going to be able to go. If it's a once in a lifetime, twice in a lifetime, you know, if they're going to be able to go every year or something like that, that does definitely come into play. But I do think if you've got the opportunity and it's a matter of, oh, I don't think my child is old enough. No, I don't think that holds water for any age, really. Certain ages are better than others as far as what they can experience, but I think after they're one, let's say, the infants aren't going to get too much out of it, but even when they're one, they're going to react to things and they're going to have fun, and you're going to see them having fun, and I think that's part of the joy in bringing one of your kids is to enjoy it through their eyes. And you're going to do that no matter what their age. Even if they don't remember, you will remember. You'll have the pictures, the videos, and the memories. So I think there's possibilities anytime after one, really.
I actually think it's easier to take a younger baby than like a 18-month-old.
I agree that it's easier, but I don't think that they'll have that enjoyment factor.
That's true. But you will.
Because
if you have a small baby, you can just put them in a sling, and they're safe in the sling. You don't have people going, oh, baby, and wanting to touch the baby or giving them germs or whatever. And you can do a lot of things. That's what I did with the twins. Now, when they were 22 months old, that was such a bad trip. And I think there is an age when a kid is like a young toddler where they're just sort of kind of testing and everything. I wouldn't want to take another child in that age range again.
I think you have to play the trips differently. With a 22-month-old or a 2-year-old, you would probably have to play a little bit more by their rules. lot more. I mean, a lot more naps, a lot of indoor cooled off areas.
Yeah.
And you're not going to get to ride the big rides as much because they want to be entertained just like you do. You know, you may spend more time in the character lines, but then again, you may not spend time in the character lines because they're not going to be willing to do that. So it depends on your child.
And yeah, I mean, it depends on, I think, temperament. And even if you know your child's temperament, it could be completely different at Disney. I mean, you could have a child that naps everywhere and then at Disney World refuses to nap anywhere but your resort.
Yeah, our kids were terrible nappers the first couple of trips. They didn't nap at all, really, on the first two trips we took, and they didn't sleep well at night either. So that was extremely difficult.
And you know, I think you have that, you know, well, do we stick to their schedule like we do at home, or, hey, we're on vacation, so it's okay if they stay up and, you know, watch fireworks or something, and then, you know, or stay out late for extra magic hours, and, you know, we just let them sleep in the next morning, or...
You know what we did? We actually, because we read everything and it said that you have to keep them on their regular schedule. Right. You have to go back for naps. And we found that we would get the twins in the stroller and we would head back to the resort. And by the time they'd been in the stroller for about 10 minutes, they'd fall asleep. So we never made it to the resort at all. So we stopped doing that and we just started doing like, we're going all day. You suck it up. And they did really well after that. But before we would go, we would, you know, they'd fall asleep in the stroller. We'd get back to the resort. And then they wouldn't nap once we got there. And then by the time we got back out, they still wanted to go to bed early at night. So we weren't getting any time in the parks. So when we just started saying, we're going to treat you like we do the older kid, we're just going to stay in the park all day, they did great. I don't think that works for everyone, and I don't think it works when it's hot out. But this was like a December trip, and they did so well, just sort of like – hanging in there all day. They kept falling asleep in odd places, but you know, that's, you can deal with that.
And you know, I mean, you may have then like a slightly older child, 4 or 5, who, you know, especially during a hotter month, may need to, you know, go back to the resort for a, you know, a swim, not necessarily a nap, yeah. Even though, I mean, the weather can be very, very draining even on adults.
Absolutely. Just, you know, some relaxing time, some time away, you know, get off your feet, cool off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, get away from the hustle and bustle.
You know, I think it can definitely help to keep everybody's nerves from, you know, getting frayed, and, you know, you don't end up punching your kid in the stomach.
Or even, you know what the norm is, though? The norm isn't anything like that. The norm is the snappy mother or the person who's, like, yelling, or, you know, like the one time I saw this lady shoving her little kid in the stroller. And, you know, we've all been there, but hopefully we don't do that. But, you know, seriously, you see that so often.
Mm-hmm.
We're spending all this money.
Right. And, you know, here you are yelling at your kid, and you know, the money's spent, and what are you trying to get out of it, and is yelling accomplishing what you want to get out of it?
Well, you know, I mean, that raises an excellent sub-issue, maybe, as far as, I mean, one of the largest factors in a budget is where to stay, you know, and, you know, where would you stay with, you know, young kids?
That's a good point.
We stayed pretty much all over, just depending.
We have. And I think that the values are going to be a good place for the kids because they're going to feel comfortable because there's Disney fun everywhere. And I think the deluxe resorts are good because you've got the ease of the monorail if you're on the monorail.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of going to say the moderates might be my last choice. They can work, of course. I'm not saying, you know, if you have kids, don't stay at a moderate, but there are definite advantages to the values, I think, and the deluxe when it comes to kids.
Because even if you're not on the monorail, I mean, if you're in an Epcot resort area, you've got easy access to two parks.
Right, right. So
that is something to consider. Well, I just, you know, a lot of, you know, parents say, well, we spent all this money, so you better have a good time. And then, you know, you ask a kid, well, what did you like best about your vacation? And they'll say, well, the hotel pool.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you just spent $6,000 to stay at the Contemporary. And, yeah. You know, and they might have been happy at, you know,
the community pool.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, you never know. And with that, too, I think is how are you going to tour? You know, how does your family tour? You know, because if go ahead, Steve.
Well, I think that's key because when we go with Amber, and we've been a lot, so it's easier for us to take breaks and have a park day and have a resort day and have a tour of the monorail resort day. And that breaks it up. But I think a lot of families, they're going and they
don't forget the outlet mall day.
Yeah. So we spread it out and then we'll do like a Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween party, or we'll do the Christmas party. So, you know, we'll have part of the day at the pool and then we'll go to the party, you know, so it's kind of like a half day at the park. And so we do a lot of stuff like that where we break it up and it makes it easier on the kids. But I think a lot of families, it's their one time, one trip, and they want to hit all four parks and everything in 7 days. And they go from like sun up to sundown and they just, you know, they're constantly in lines and constantly trying to see everything. So it makes it tough on the kids and the parents.
Yeah, and the reality is you can't see everything, even if you do go sun up to sundown. I don't think it's possible.
Yeah.
You know, to see everything. And you know, if you tour that way, I think you lose something, you know, just rushing from attraction to attraction. Yeah, you're seeing the attractions, but you're missing, you know, maybe some of the bigger picture.
Yeah, especially when you go with kids. Because with Amber, I mean, some of our best photos and memories are just doing little stuff with them when she was, you know, 3-4 years old.
Sitting in the lobby or, you know, looking at the carousel at the beach club.
Yeah, doing the Christmas decorations, or she liked to ride Dumbo, or meeting the characters, or doing Kim Possible, or we'd go to Downtown Disney and just listen to some of those street performers play music and dance, you know, when they were doing Christmas carols and things.
Honestly, the low-key vacations really work out, but we've got that luxury where we can take our time, we can do low-key, we're not there from open to close. Like, you know, if it was a once in a lifetime, twice in a lifetime visit to the parks, we would play it so much differently.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it really does depend on your family, how often you're able to go and, what you want to get out of it. And you can just play it so differently.
Well, I mean, I don't think a lot of people realize that they can book these trips, you know, in advance and pay for them over time, too.
Well, that's really the smart way to go about it because, well, for example, I was looking for a room today at the beach club and or the boardwalk. And she wanted just a standard room, and this was for October 15th through the 22nd. And there was not a deluxe room available that wasn't like a one-bedroom with concierge level, club level service. And the rooms do sell out. People that wait, I mean, mm-hmm. we're still a few months out from October, but the rooms sell out. And it's the same thing for the cruise lines. People think, oh, you know what? Come January, let's take a break or a cruise for spring break. I'm sorry, that's not going to happen. Planning 3 and 4 months out for a cruise on the Disney Cruise Line, it just doesn't happen because Disney is fabulously popular.
Right.
The cruises.
Yeah, even in,
go ahead.
I was just saying, even in this economy, things are filling up. And I noticed September right now is ridiculous. You can't get anything for September.
But,
right.
But, you know, being able to put down, you know, if you buy a package deal, you know, put down the $200 on the package, you know, 8 months, 10 months, a year in advance, whatever mm-hmm. it is. And I mean, Disney doesn't charge you any interest and you can pay, you know, on it at your leisure, you know, weekly, monthly, semi-monthly, whatever you want to do. And you only have to pay it up in full 45 days, you know, out.
Can I add something to that, Bob, though? Because I've had a few cancellations lately. Or I've had people who are downgrading their reservation, and I think it's important not to fall into planning too big of a vacation, because it's a lot easier to upgrade your resort than it is to downgrade. So 9 months out, if you think, you know, maybe my budget can't handle a deluxe, book that moderate,
and then upgrade as you get closer, because I'm having a hard time getting, you know, the value resorts that these people want on the days they want them.
And that is true. Your values and your moderates are going to sell out faster, sure. So
that's just something that, you know, I'm seeing a lot of. You know, the economy is scary and trips are still a luxury. So
That's a good point. I mean, so, but regardless of, you know, what level you're comfortable booking at, and you should really, you know, put a deposit down on what level you really are comfortable at, not a level that you think you're comfortable
at.
Yeah,
don't play games.
You know, it is something, you know, paying over time can make it that, you know, it doesn't have to be once in a lifetime is my point. You know, even if it takes you a couple of years of savings or whatnot, you know, because Disney's not going to charge you interest, you know, they want you to go. They want you to come see Mickey, so, you know, that gives you the opportunity. So,
yeah. Well, and as Bob was saying, your final payment is due 45 days prior to your arrival date, and you have all the way up until that point to cancel with no penalty.
Right.
And even if you cancel within, you know, if something comes up and you've made your final payment and you're 30 days out, and there goes the air conditioner and the car, we're in trouble. It's going to cost you that $200 deposit, which is a lot of money. But it's not like you're losing your $4,000 or your $2,000. So,
right. Or I mean, if you don't need that money back necessarily, but you need to push the trip back,
change the date.
Change the date, and you can do that usually without penalty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know? So, I mean,
you know,
so that's
they still want you to go.
Yeah, so I mean,
so they're going to try to accommodate.
Another option for people, you know, talking about the young kids and you know the different experiences got me thinking too. What about with families with, you know, kids of different ages? You know, so you've got like a toddler, a preschooler, you know, maybe a tween and a teen. You know, and they all want to be pulled in. You know, obviously they all want to do different things.
Hire a nanny.
Yeah, well, we do that with Brooke and Amber, and I, you know, we take turns with the rider swap pass.
Right, and then sometimes we'll go with another family, and they have tween teens, and you cooperate. You know, everyone just kind of gets along so well that it works for us. Sometimes, you know, I don't feel like going on. I'll stay back with the kids. Oh, I want to ride the roller coaster. Okay, I'll go with you, and it doesn't become a problem. I can see how it could, though.
Yeah, and there's stuff to do usually around Test Track or Space Mountain or wherever you're at. If you want to go off for 45 minutes and go in one of the shops or get a snack while everyone's riding.
Check your email.
Well, I mean, do you...
that's me.
Do you think that there is any age that you would feel comfortable letting your child go off by themselves?
I don't see it happening.
Oh, really?
I don't see it happening.
Do you know this last trip, because I went with Eric and it was just him and me, and he's 8. I actually didn't let him go anywhere. I let him use the bathrooms by himself, which I know is a big issue, like when you're traveling, you know, with an opposite sex kid. You know, do you bring the 8 or the 9-year-old boy into the ladies' bathroom? I actually let him go in by himself, except in Hollywood Studios because it was Star Wars weekend. And frankly, there were just a lot of drunk people walking around. But
What about the unisex bathrooms, the family bathrooms?
You know, I try not to use those because I know that they're for people who need assistance. And so unless I'm really desperate, I don't let them use those. I mean, just because from what I've heard from people with disabilities, you know, it's kind of a pain. They have to wait. There aren't
but
a lot
also,
of those bathrooms.
But they are family bathrooms as well.
They're not really
targeted as family bathrooms. Disney doesn't call them family bathrooms. They're called, I think they call them companion restrooms.
Yeah.
I mean, so could a mother with a, you know, a male child or a father with a female child, you know, I mean, technically that's a companion and, you know, maybe they need additional assistance. But yeah, I mean, like, you know, if you're at the Magic Kingdom and you have a disability, I think there's maybe only 4 or 5 of those.
There aren't a lot of them.
There aren't a lot.
You know,
there aren't a lot of them in any of the any of the parks. And I just try to be polite. But right. I will tell you that I'm going to make sure my kid is safe. And if it's a nighttime party and it's crowded, he's going in the companion bathroom or he's going right. in the ladies' room with me. But in general, I try to give him a little bit of freedom. But the other thing I tried to do this trip was to let him walk a little bit ahead. You know, he's a fast walker. He's a little boy. And he wanted that freedom. So I let him go like 20 or 30 feet ahead of me.
Did you get like an extra long chain on that monkey backpack?
I totally did. Yeah. And you know,
you're probably strangling people left and right.
Well, and we can talk about those because I've actually used those with the twins, not with much success, but anyway, yeah, I tried to give him a little bit of freedom and he kept saying, when can I do stuff by myself? And I'm like, you know what, when you're 12, you can walk around this park a little bit alone, not at 8. Although Ooh. I did every single ride, he wanted to ride by himself. So I mean, it was kind of cute.
I can't imagine.
Because she's five, though.
Officially, I think Disney says a child can be unaccompanied at what, 7?
Yeah, it says so on the tickets. Yeah, I think it's kind of important.
I don't think they're advocating that, but
right.
But, I mean, in a way,
I mean,
they
have to set the rules. 7?
Right. 7.
I could see Eric at all times, but, you know, he wanted to stand up near the front and watch some of the shows, and he just wanted to be a bigger kid, you know, and it's kind of neat to be able to give them that in sort of a safe environment. And I was happy to do it, but,
if we're sitting on a bench and Amber wants an ice cream, yeah, Amber, go ahead, go that 30 or 40 feet to the ice cream cart, use your room key, get an ice cream Mickey bar, Mickey ice cream bar, and come back. I can see you the whole time.
Yeah. But,
wow.
And that's what I mean, though. That's what I mean. You're giving them some freedom,
right.
But you can see them the whole time. I mean, believe me, he wanted to feel like a big kid.
Okay.
You know,
I don't see myself growing into that. And yeah. Sure I will, but oh my gosh, I'm just getting knots in my stomach thinking about it.
Well, and you know, like some of the things he wanted to do, like he loves the Peter Pan ride and he wanted to ride that alone every time. And I could see him, you know, I was right behind him. I could see the big smile.
Okay, so he's just got a separate galleon.
Yeah. And he kept turning around and waving.
I can handle that.
Hey, this is a big deal, but there's no way he was going to go on it by himself. And I was nervous. I was like, geez, this kid is going to just fall out, you know, but he was okay. So, you know, and yeah.
Okay. See, yeah, I understand that better.
It was a big move. It was a big move for me because I am very overprotective. So it was kind of an interesting experience.
Hmm. All right. Well, I just wanted that, you know, difference or I just wanted to hear from people because I know there are families out there with, you know, kids of different age groups. So, you know, saying, you know, you have to go at your kid's pace, well, that's all fine and dandy until you have kids of all different ages,
right.
You know, so
yeah, your
so 15
year old isn't going to be real interested in
Dumbo.
There's I would have no problem letting a mature 15 year old wander around the parks alone.
Oh.
As long as I was in the same park and we had a cell phone, I wouldn't have a problem with that.
I'll just have to wait and see, but right now that really literally turns my stomach.
Well, that's so many years away for,
yeah.
for you.
That is a long time. That's 9 years.
So yeah.
Oh,
I mean,
she'll be
asking
fun.
Next year.
Yeah. And you have to kind of, you know, and you kind of have to give them that at some point. And at 15, they know better. You know, they're not, I mean, obviously you don't, you can't prepare for every weird situation, but yeah, I mean, if at 15, if my kid wanted to hang out in Tomorrowland while I took the younger ones to Frontierland, I'd be okay with that.
You know what?
I'm saying that now, but I don't know.
I think I'm a little out of touch with my own self because as a freshman in high school, I went to Disney World with the band and we were on our own. They just let us go. And yeah. I was a freshman. So that was like, what, 14?
14.
And so. I did it again when I was 16. So I need to get in touch with myself here.
Well, and I think it depends on the kid, too. I mean, you'll know if you have the type of kid who's, you know, going to do crazy stuff. And and also you have a girl, and I think they're a little more mature. You know, boys will find trouble to get into.
Wow. You know, I can't believe I didn't even think of that I was there when I was 14.
I went on my own when I was in sixth grade, but I had a paper route and I won a contest for delivering the most papers, or I don't remember what it was, but I got a bus ride to Disney World,
and then like on a regular bus, like a
it was like
Greyhound?
A bus of yeah, like a Greyhound bus that my parents dropped me off at, and it took me to Disney World
in sixth grade.
Yeah, and then
did you spend the night there?
No, it was like one day and bus ride back.
Did you go by yourself, like with no friends?
It was just me. Yeah, that's it was fun.
He started his Disney career early.
It was the only thing that was open. I mean, this was like the only thing that was the Magic Kingdom that was even there. Mm-hmm. And I remember they gave me like, for the contest, like about $50 or something, spending cash and food. And
which in today's dollars is like $800. And
see, honestly, I don't think... Did you just want the freedom to go by yourself?
It was
fun. Or did
fun.
Your parents were like, Steve, get lost, kid?
And I was only... And I lived in Sarasota, so it was like, you know, an hour and a half or something.
Yeah, on
the bus, and then you go for the day. Oh. And I bought a bunch of stuff at the magic shop, and I got to eat whatever I wanted and ride whatever I wanted. And
all by yourself.
Yeah, it was cool. And then I got back on the bus and took me back home.
Wow.
I guess I've got to give kids more credit, I suppose.
Now, I wouldn't let a 12-year-old do that.
Not today.
No. That's a little scary. You know, maybe if you had like an older brother or something. But
right. Not by yourself.
No, not at 12. But you
I didn't realize that I would need Metamucil for this whole phone. Not Metamucil. What is that? Malox? What is that Malox. Tummy stuff?
Yeah. I don't think you need Metamucil.
What is Metamucil? that's that other stuff.
It's plugging you up.
No.
That's like
I need tummy stuff because my stomach is in knots.
Well, all right. Let me move on to my next. Let me. I actually have another thought or another question. So
okay.
But go on.
I hope it gives her a panic attack. Go ahead.
My next question is, calm down. What are your thoughts as far as you know? People say, well, you know, this is going to be like a first trip. You know, do we surprise the kids or do we not surprise the kids?
I'm not a big fan of surprises at all.
Okay, why not?
I am.
Because I think the kids can help plan, they can help do the countdown. And I think a lot of these parents are like, you know, they do these surprise trips and then the kids are like, huh? Because they're little and they don't really grasp the concept and then the parents are all disappointed.
You got to kind of build them up.
Yeah, I don't know. My kids always, well, it would be hard to hide it from Eric because I would be like, we're going to Disney. And he'd be like, what are you talking about? And I'd be like, in 90 days. So he always knows when there's a trip planned. Like I tried to hide the AEP from him and I couldn't, even though he's not going. I was like, guess what? Go to Disney in 23 days. She's like, can I go?
I'm working. So no.
I can't do it. I mean, I honestly couldn't keep it from them. I don't have that ability.
Well, that's more your personality. But I see what your point is, Chris. But Lisa, you said you like the surprise idea.
I do actually. We're gonna be doing one of those.
Does she know? Does she know about Argus?
No, she doesn't know.
See, we're doing it right now.
Yes, we are.
Okay.
So yeah,
and
so she
I
doesn't.
I have to
know.
Be careful what I say.
Okay.
Oh, because she's right there.
Yeah.
I think it's easier with little kids too because Eric is like a Disney bloodhound. I mean, he knows when someone's planning a trip. The little ones, I can pull anything over them.
Yeah, but it also helps that I'm always planning trips for someone, and whether it's theirs or mine, we never know.
Yeah, but you know what? If I'm planning a trip for anyone, Eric is like, is that for us? Are we going to Wilderness Lodge? Get away from me, kid. Mommy's working.
Yes. Funny.
My son is like hardcore into Disney, though. I mean, I don't.
Staying at
Royal do we need Palm to hire
Club
him
for 2 weeks?
You do. Oh Lord!
Tell him to send in an application.
I will.
Okay. Okay. So I also wanted to talk about a couple different aspects of Disney with children, and I think it's a good idea if you went online and checked out the different rides. If you're not familiar, because we are talking first time trip for children, if you're not familiar with the rides, find out what each park has to offer for children your age. Not your age, but children your kids' ages. And figure out what rides, or read blogs or whatever you need to do, talk to an agent about what rides are not going to scare your child, which ones could potentially scare.
Look at YouTube videos too.
Yeah, you can see the rides. People videotape these rides all the time. And check on height requirements.
Yes.
If you're going to be real disappointed, get your kid all excited about driving his own car, and it doesn't happen.
And here's a tip. If you're trying to get on a ride and your kid is almost the height, I mean, don't put your kid in thin flip-flops and then expect to get on the ride. Because I see these kids and they're like wearing like flip-flops, and then they go up to the meter and they're like an inch too short. And then a kid comes up in giant tennis shoes, and they hop right on. So make sure you wear some tennis shoes or something.
Wear shoes. I mean, you know, they don't have to be the giant ones with the goldfish swimming around. You know? I mean, let's not be ridiculous. You know, don't give your kid a perm, you know, the night before, just cause, you know, so that they're, you know. But you know, when the height requirements are with shoes on, so, you know, regular shoes and sneakers would work better anyway, walking around than flip-flops. And, you know, go first thing in the morning. If you're kind of borderline, you're always taller in the morning, you know, when you first wake up and your spine compresses.
Yep. About half an inch.
Yeah, so,
really?
You know, and Pratt, you know, if you've got a kid who kind of slouches, like me.
Teach your kid how to stand up straight.
Yeah, teach them, you know.
And that sounds silly, but, you know, practice it against a wall.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, just respect the height requirements, too. I mean, if your kid's not, you know, eligible this time around, I mean, the ride's not going anywhere. Well, it might, but, you know, Space Mountain's not going anywhere.
That's true.
And they are there. You know, the height requirements are there for a reason. I mean, would half an inch or 3/4 inch make that much of a difference? Probably not. And there's a guy like me, you know, in a law firm, you know, insisting that these height requirements be, you know, put in place. But it's a safety thing.
Right. You don't want your kid falling out of a ride.
Right. I mean, or you know, something happening to them because,
the safety restraints are designed for certain sized people. And if you don't meet that requirement, you're going to fly out of the ride.
The first ones, unfortunately, you know, to find ways to, you know, bypass the height requirements are also going to be the first ones to try and sue when their child is hurt. So please, you know, learn what the height where there's a clear, you know, your kid's not tall enough. I mean, they're not going to, you know, make it. And you know, I mean, if you're contemplating putting, you know, special inserts into your kid's shoes and, you know, wacky hairstyles to, you know, and getting him an Abraham Lincoln hat to, you know,
and they do push hair down.
Yeah, and they will. They will try to. I've even seen them take that little measuring stick and take a slip of paper and slide it in between.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they want you to stand under.
Yeah, they want you to touch it.
Your head has to hit it.
So
you should be able to not walk under it without ducking.
Yeah.
So
you have to at least touch it or be above it.
But yeah, the height requirements and the YouTube videos are great for a number of reasons. I mean, you know, if your kid is on the autism spectrum, I think they can be helpful in teaching a child what to expect and becoming familiar with them and preparing. And, you know, I even had a little cousin who would not go on Splash Mountain because she was convinced that on that last drop, you would end up in a briar patch. And would be, you know, face a bloody, horrible, you know, death, I suppose, you know. And there was no convincing her that, no, you know, A, it's fake, and B, no, you pass right under it.
Bob.
I know I said the fake, yeah. I should tell you about Mickey Mouse, too.
Bob.
One of these days.
Okay, we'll see if you're on another show.
Hey, you told me you'd like my bluntness. Anyway,
I do.
But yeah, I mean, so maybe, you know,
I just know that we have kid listeners too.
Okay, well, you know,
do we really?
We do.
I didn't know.
I know that we've got Aaron Lee.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah. Hi, Aaron Lee.
Hi, Aaron Lee.
I should watch my language.
She's a 6-year-old or 7-year-old fan.
Does Bob? You never say anything too off color. You're not.
That's,
you know.
That's good.
Well, not that we don't edit out.
Well, can I just say that
in the sound room, yes.
Can I just say that this issue has never come up in my family because my kids are ride chickens. And one thing I take, I cannot stand hearing are the parents who say, you have to try every ride. And I always say, you don't have to do anything like that. You have to eat your vegetables. You
right.
have to be polite. You have to go to bed. You have to brush your teeth. And you have to, you know, study. But you don't have to ride a ride. And I can't stand seeing little kids being taken on Haunted Mansion and they're crying or any kind of thing. So we have a rule in our house. If they don't want to do it, they don't have to do it. And as a result, they haven't done a lot of rides that are, and you know, the four-year-olds, it's really a non-issue because they're just too little, really. But with the eight-year-old, you know, he's a ride chicken. And he's also extremely nerdy. He'd rather walk around Hollywood Studios and talk about all the movies and see things like that.
Yeah, that
you know,
kid
I kind of
Indiana Jones like major.
I know, and Star Wars.
You know that.
Yeah, and Star Wars. Yes, he does.
I think I have insisted that Amber go on rides.
Really?
I think I have something. I'm trying to think what I would have forced her to go on, knowing that she would have loved it. One thing I forced her on was we were at a water park, and I did make her go on one of these rides, and she could not get enough of it in the end. And it's only because I knew her and I knew that she just had to go, you know, down a slide once and she would love it. So hopefully that doesn't come across as a horrible mother, but she stood in line. She's like, okay, I can do this. I can do this. And she did love it. But there's gotta be something at Disney that I've kind of encouraged strongly.
Well, at Disney, she's always gotten right on them. And
yeah,
she's super tall. So she got on, I mean, she was on like test track at like 3.
Wow.
She was riding that thing like over and over and over. It's just her favorite thing.
It's her favorite. Mm-hmm. Well, now she likes Rock and Roller Coaster.
And then she was on Rock and Roller Coaster at 5, and she rode that like 2 or 3 times in a row.
You raise an interesting point that I bet some of our listeners are wondering. You know, just because your child is tall enough to ride, do you think they should?
No.
I mean, because I've seen stories on message boards, you know, my 2.5-year-old actually meets the height requirement for, you know, Tower of Terror.
No.
You know.
No, because, well, you have to consider, you can be tall, but you also need the weight behind you on certain things. And I think you need to have the maturity on some of these.
I think the maturity more than anything.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They need to be able to put everything in context. You know, why is this elevator dropping? What the heck is this? That's going to be scary if they don't understand the concept of what they're doing.
Right.
And I'm sorry, but I think Haunted Mansion is very scary for little kids. And
I think
if you have to ask, you shouldn't take your kid on it. So, and this is why I am, as I've said, a huge proponent of date night, which is what my husband and I do. We go back and we ride all the rides that the kids won't ride. So,
okay,
because we're dorks.
No, it's smart and it works for you. And so, finding, like I said, over and over, everyone is different. You need to find out what works best for you and your family.
Well, and I mean, I'll admit, my kids think that Pirates of the Caribbean is really scary. They won't go on it
anymore.
Okay,
we need to talk to them.
No, they just think it's really scary. And I've actually decided that next trip I'm going to bribe Eric with something to get him to go back on it.
You have to go with Amber, and Amber can take him on the rides.
You know, that would actually probably humiliate him into going on. Because
she likes to ride the ride so much. I'm like, Lisa, take her on Tower of Terror because I can't do it. And she'll go again and again and again.
Well, she's
over
sick.
And over.
She's going to do things until you can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
But I wanted to jump to another point.
Yeah.
Okay. Just talking about younger kids, 2 and 3 year olds. This is just a tip. If you have recently potty trained your child, Disney World is not the place to test their endurance. Put them in a pull-up. You're going to be so happy you did. Leave the panties at home and the underpants. Just stick with the pull-ups.
I would even say that if your kid is sort of on the cusp of being potty trained, just kind of put it off for, and you know, right before you go, put it off for a couple of months, because a lot of times you'll get a toddler who's kind of like, no, I'm potty trained. I am not putting on that pull up. Mm-hmm. And then you have an entirely different issue. So if they're sort of borderline, just maybe put off the potty training. They're not going to wear a diaper to college, probably.
Right.
So,
well, we did that with Amber. We were trying to get her potty trained before she was three, completely off the pull-ups and such. And she was pretty good. And she had to do it before a trip. And so she was probably 2 years and 8 months or something. And she did it. And, of course, then we have this 7-8 hour drive. I said, uh-uh. You know, I'm sorry. You proved yourself. That's awesome. You're back in a pull-up. And she said, I said, you don't have to go in the pull-up. We can still go, you know, to the restroom. And, you know, that's mm-hmm. the whole point of a pull-up. Interesting turn of events here. But, turn of topics. But, you know, luckily, I did get away with it. And you're completely right that, you know, if they're close and you've got a Disney trip planned, they may not want to go back into that pull-up. So,
right.
You're going to want to be in a pull-up.
And yeah, I mean, there are bathrooms everywhere. That's true, but you never know with
not
a
in
young
line.
Child when they're. Yeah, I mean, mm-mm. if you're in line and you're all the way towards the front and they've mm-hmm. got to suddenly go, you've got a real problem. Or you know, if you're in a dark attraction and they're captivated by the show. Well, they're probably not going to tell you, and you know you
right.
don't want a situation. And I've heard horrible stories, and how embarrassing for a parent where a child you know gets up from a ride vehicle and they've left the seat in you know
I've
not
never
such
thought
nice
of that.
Condition.
You know what? That's not even embarrassing
condition.
Though.
Well,
because
I mean,
it's a little kid, you know.
No, it's not embarrassing to them. I
it's
mean,
a pain.
It's a little kid. It may be more embarrassing to the parent.
No.
But it's you know, so yeah. Oh, and for a younger child also that even is competent with the using the potty and stuff, the toilets in Disney World are automatic flushing.
Mm-hmm. Those are
so
scary.
They are scary.
Some cover-up stickers or post-it notes to cover the automatic sensor until your child goes. This way, you know, as soon as they
or
move.
Just you can put your hand in front of it. Yeah, I'm
it,
not going to walk around with sticky notes.
You know, but I mean, you know, if you're comfortable with that, sure,
yeah.
that's fine too. But yeah, you definitely don't want to scare a child. you
no,
know,
those, no, and it those. Is traumatic, and then they're not going to want to use the potty.
Right, exactly. So, and
well, I think there's a little bit to be discussed about characters as well, and you know, characters they're big. You know, you think Chip and Dale, cute little chipmunks, but they're still going to be probably 4.5 feet. And I think it's a good idea. A lot of people like to do the character dinings, of course, but I think it's a good idea to wait till your, you know, second, third day before you do a character dining if your child has never met a character or encountered anything like this, or if you think they're going to be apprehensive in any way. This way they can maybe see characters in the parade and realize how big they are, or they can somehow see them in passing, get used to the concept of a character meet and greet before they're expected to hug and take pictures and ask for autographs, or you know, have a dining experience where they're supposed to hug, you know, go up to the character.
And I will say that the you know, not only are the character meals a great way to bang out some of those character interactions and autograph sessions, you know, all at once without having to spend a lot of time in line. But the handlers for the characters are great too. And if, you know, if you kind of indicate that your child is not comfortable with a particular character, you know, they'll steer them away.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so that your child can maybe see them safely from a distance. So, you know, another option too is maybe one of those character meals where you have face characters.
Right. You know, and like, that's a good way to start too.
You know, like the princesses, for instance, you know, they're far less intimidating.
Yeah, because if you get in line to meet Mickey Mouse and you spend your hour in line and then your kid's not letting go of your leg, and you've just wasted an hour, you've traumatized the kid, and, you know, it's just not good all around.
Right, right. Oh, and as far as autograph books, I mean, you don't have to buy them in advance. Although you certainly can, you know, but I mean, they're available, gosh darn, about every place mm-hmm. throughout Disney World. I mean, you'll
How
find
much are
them
they
the,
now?
They're about $5, I want to say, for your basic blue autograph book. I think they actually have one now that says 40th anniversary, which is kind of cool. It might mm-hmm. be a little bit more. There's some that you can put photos in on
I
one
like
side
those.
And have the autograph on the other. Those are, I want to say, like $12.99. I always get the prices a little bit. I might be off a little bit on the prices because I used to sell them on eBay. So I have Disney's price point and my price point.
Right.
Yeah.
I know that when I was there back in the 90s, it was $3.95 for a standard autograph. Well, they only had a standard autograph book. And it was $1.95 for one of those, the big pens, the large barreled pens.
Yeah.
And you do need one of those.
Yes. I was just going to say, I mean, the characters' hands are kind of big. And so, you know, a simple pen isn't going to work. Either, you know, a Sharpie or a thicker big pen that they can grasp.
They need a round, big, fat barrel.
Yeah. And, you know, but the autograph books, I mean, you can find them at, you know, at the airport store at you know, Orlando International. You can find them at your resort. You can find them in just about every gift shop throughout the park. So, I mean,
right.
You know, if you, you know, you're not going to have any trouble finding one of those. And
well,
and
in addition to that, you're also going to find them at Walmart.
Yeah, the off brands. Yeah,
you'll find the off brands, but unofficial. They're still going to have Mickey Mouse on there. They are unofficial. But you had mentioned the autograph books that have the photo slips. In addition to the autograph pages, that is such a great idea because typically you're going to take a picture of your child with the character. And so what they do is the picture goes on one side, on the left side, and then the autograph goes on the right side. And so once you get your pictures developed, you fill up the book, it's all complete, and you see the picture of your child with their autograph next to it, which I just think that's lovely. I love it.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great idea, and they are very, very popular.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think characters will also sign things other than autograph books. I mean, I've seen them sign kids' casts. I've seen them sign hats
a lot. T-shirts,
T-shirts. I've seen them sign pillowcases. I've seen them sign Vinylmation, the large, plain white 9-inch Vinylmation dolls. I've actually seen them sign those as well.
Yep.
So you got a bunch of options there.
Okay. Another thing to bring up would be strollers. How old is too old for a stroller in Walt Disney World?
If I could fit one, I'd use one.
Uh-oh, Chris is going to go on this one.
See, I just think that unless your kid has a medical condition, their little bodies tiring out is a good sign that it's time to go back to your resort and rest. I don't think any child over the age of, 4 needs to be in a stroller.
Okay. I mean, we're all going to have opinions on this.
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous, though. I mean, you know, you're starting to hear, I see it all the time. Should I put a 7-year-old in a stroller? No, your 7-year-old should walk.
Yeah.
Sorry.
We've got, well, we have a sit and stand, which I think I've used once, but not even in Disney World. I used it at the airport. But I think we've got the stroller. We have, you know, a regular stroller that we bring. It reclines, and it's not an umbrella stroller, so it's got the nice room underneath, but it really is for Brooke at this point. And once in a while, Amber will ask to go in it, but I can't even steer that thing when she's in it. She's 52 pounds. She's too heavy. She just is too heavy.
Well, I mean, I'm kind of torn. I think it's like, seeing an 8 or 9 year old in a stroller is kind of silly to me, but I guess a lot of it depends on, you know, what time of year are you going? You know, are you touring all day?
But
are
kids just get all sweaty in those strollers. They don't look comfortable. And if you're older than the age of 4, their knees are up to their chin. They're all hunched over.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of.
I don't know. I mean, you can get, and I think you would do better with an offsite rental stroller too. Because
yeah,
it's going to be
nice.
Cheaper for the week. And again, I think it depends on your family situation. I mean, and I think, Chris, you did, to be fair, say, you know, if your child, you know, has a special need. I mean, I had a family with, you know, a child on the spectrum. And,
well,
you know,
and that's a totally different situation.
Yeah, they
it's
need
totally
a stroller
different.
As, you know, a
it's
barrier
a whole other show.
Space.
You just don't – I mean, I don't know. I mean, on a practical – reality – I don't notice it and I don't tend to really care. But if somebody asks my opinion, yeah, I think your five-year-old should walk. But then again, I'm the mother who made my son jog all the way from Hollywood Studios to Epcot. So, but that's just because he had a lot of energy that day.
Well, and I mean, keep in mind, I mean, a lot of people think, well, am I really going to need a stroller? I mean, my child hasn't, you know, my 3-year-old, let's say, hasn't used a stroller at home in, mm-hmm. you know, a year.
My twins, when they turned, they were a little before 3, and we got rid of the strollers because they wouldn't ride in them. But I am going to rent one at Disney on our trip in December because they're still only 4, and it's almost a safety issue. Plus, if Kevin goes somewhere with our older kid, I want to be able to take the twins and manage them. Mm. But, you know, but I just, I don't know. I mean, I tend to, you know, we definitely prepare. I mean, the kids walk a lot. They play outside a lot. I mean, they're ready for it when they go. And plus, we live
in they should be prepared.
Right. And we live in a hot climate. We live in North Carolina, which is quite often hotter than Florida. So it's kind of unfair for me to say, you know, suck it up, buttercup, you're going to walk, because the truth is a lot of kids, that is really overwhelming heat for them. Whereas for my kids, that's just Saturday, you know,
right.
I mean, it's
day. Another day.
So,
and I mean, with little legs too, I mean, a park like Epcot is, I mean,
Epcot's
I get tired walking around World Showcase.
Well, and I guess that gets back to my personal philosophy, which is that if people are tired, they should go back, you know, they should. You know,
go back and rest, rejuvenate.
And it's easier for me to say because we go often, and also we tend to not be hardcore, like commando style touring. We'll go to the park, we'll hang out, we'll have a leisurely lunch, we'll ride a few things and go back. So mm-hmm. I shouldn't really, you know,
right.
Everyone does it differently.
Really care
I guess to each their own and what works best. I would respectfully request, if you are going to use a stroller, please don't use it as a weapon and a, you know, a battering ram.
I've never ever encountered that.
No, I mean, okay, you want to know where I encounter it the most is right after Wishes in the Magic Kingdom.
To clear
it's,
a path.
It's like the running of the bulls.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
when everyone's trying to get out.
Everybody's trying to get out and they're pushing. And I mean, they will just ram into the back of my legs and my shins. And I realize you don't see me. I'm only 6'6". So I'm clearly, you know, very easy to overlook, but I don't appreciate it, you know. So.
Well, and I think also, though, I think it gets back to an original thing, which is that we haven't actually discussed this, but it gets back to sort of, I think you should go ahead and prepare your children physically. I think the grown-ups need to be prepared, and I think the kids need to be prepared. And, like, I will say, like, I have really slacked off on exercising. And when I went in May, I felt it. It felt different than it did in December when I was running and doing other things. And I think not only do adults feel it if they're not in, you know, decent shape, I think kids feel it. And a lot of kids don't get a lot of time outside. So if you can go after dinner with your family and go for a walk, like starting a couple months before you go for longer walks.
And it's good for the family.
Like, yeah,
it's good bonding time. You can talk about, you can make your walk time to talk about Disney and what you're going to do.
And just like you want to make sure that your shoes are the kind of shoes you want to wear in the park and they're broken in, you want to make sure their shoes are too. And because their feet grow fast, you have to be kind of mindful of that, you know, that they have shoes that are going to be appropriate, at least two pairs.
And definitely.
So when you decide that you're going to Disney World with your children, you know that everywhere you go, they're going to say, I want, I want, I want, whether it's going to be, you know, an ice cream bar or a stuffed animal or the nighttime, the glow, all that mm-hmm. glow stuff, that stuff is hard to say no. Everyone's got, I need one of those too. So what do you do as far as souvenirs?
The glow sticks, I think you can buy like packages of like 10 or 20 of those at the dollar store very cheaply.
I think you only get like 3 or 4.
Well, okay.
But still, you know, go to the dollar store.
And, you know.
I do stock up there and I'll get so many. And you spend $5, you're set. Mm-hmm. And I have no hesitation in letting Amber wear as many as she wants. You know, I'll light her up like a Christmas tree. I don't care.
I actually tell my children that they're made by exploited workers in China and that we don't want to contribute to that.
Well, okay, for someone that doesn't want to take that approach, a more reasonable solution.
Just go to Walmart and get one of those little toys for like $5 and you're good to go. Right.
Yeah.
Well,
because you're going to pay 15 at Disney.
As far as a souvenir budget, maybe, you know, months before your trip, if your child knows, especially if your child knows they're going, this would work. Obviously, if it's a surprise, this isn't going to work. But, you know, if you've got a child that, you know, maybe they can earn money by doing chores around the house, cleaning mm-hmm. up their room, you know, picking up the dishes after dinner, walking the dog, you know, whatever it is. And then, you know, that money can go onto a Disney gift card that you can then use, you know, it's theirs to
yeah,
use.
Yeah, that's a nice idea.
Mm-hmm. You know, or another option may be to, you know, set a budget for each child, you know, either so much per day or so much for the entire trip. And again, you know, let them use it on what they want to use it on. But when it's gone, it's gone.
I think what we do is we encourage, and not so much with the little ones, because the little ones don't really have that concept yet. They probably will on this next trip. But we encourage our older one to not buy anything the first few days. To say, look, you know, look around. You're going to see things that you're going to be interested in. So give it a few days and then you can always come mm-hmm. back. And then we just hope he forgets about it.
Yeah. Chris talking about the gift card. There's just one little aspect of that that bothers me is they don't understand. I like the Disney dollars versus the gift card, and they're so hard to get now.
Yeah.
And I just think having the dollars in your hand and being able to spend them and watch them disappear, it's just more like money. It's kind of a lesson.
Well, I mean, you could always hold the money for the kids and, you know, dish it out in an envelope
sure.
per day.
Sure, you could do that. But yeah. I think the gift cards are kind of taking away the fun experience that you have with the Disney dollars. And it just reminds me of credit cards, and the entire country is going down the toilet because of credit cards and debt. So, you know, it's ridiculous. You know, it's an extreme comparison, but I much prefer the Disney dollars because they're more like cash.
That's a good idea for us, maybe with Amber on the next trip. Maybe get her, if she wants to take some of her allowance and turn it into Disney dollars at like guest services at one of the hotels.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that was just my little two cents.
No, good point there.
That's just how I see it. I don't feel right giving her a gift card because it just feels more like a credit card, and I don't want her to, you know, it just bugs me. So, but it might be just fine for you.
Okay.
We do, when we're there, Amber gets to shop on the last day, kind of what Chris was saying, or I don't know who, was it Bob or Chris? I think
it was Chris.
Chris, yeah, because you don't have any
kids. Shop whenever I want.
Yeah, you don't have to worry.
Yeah, you're not eight. I can't tell you when to shop, Bob.
No.
Although I'd like to.
But, you know, we'll let Amber shop on the last day, and what she's supposed to do all along the way is find some things that she likes, and if she really wants to buy it, we make note of it, and then the next day she might find something else, and so we've got a list at the end of the things that she's seen that she likes, whether it's a little charm for her bracelet or a doll or a plush. We know what she likes, and then we explain to her how much this costs. You can get this and this, or you can get just this, and then she has to make the hard decisions. And I usually end up getting her an extra something as well, which she's probably going to catch on to soon.
Or you can sneak something for Christmas or a future birthday or something.
Yeah, you could do that. Because they always find something. And it's nice that you can have things shipped to your Disney resort, because it'll be all packaged. You can even ship things home.
Yeah.
And usually the saving, if you're not living in Florida, the savings from not paying the tax comes close to covering the shipping cost. So it's actually kind of smart when it comes to some of the larger things, the more cumbersome
the
items.
The Cinderella Castle.
Uh-huh.
Shipping on that's about $20, and that's UPS Ground. Yeah. Used to sell a ton of those, too. Made a killing at Christmas.
Let's see. Oh, I also wanted to bring up the baby care centers. And
those
how
are the best thing
wonderful
ever.
They are.
Yeah.
Chris, why don't you tell us about those?
Well, basically every park has one, and you basically go in. You can't bring your stroller in unless you have a child with, you know, a disability and they need to stay in it. But you just come on in. You can feed them. There's usually a little TV with like Disney programming on, with like a little seating room, like if you have maybe an older child or something.
For the siblings.
And you can go and just, you know, change them. There's a private area to nurse if you're not comfortable doing it out in public. And they have like a little store where they sell just about everything you'd need, you know, diapers, formula, baby food. I do have to say that
medicine.
Diapers, yeah, some medicine. I do have to say that never make the mistake of going into a Disney theme park and having to buy diapers while you're there. Bring more than you're going to need, because
you don't
those generally
pay for them.
Well, you, not only do you not want to pay for them, but they generally are sort of like kind of a in the middle size. So if you have a bigger kid who needs a diaper or a smaller kid who needs a diaper, they're not going to fit.
And they might not be your brand.
Right. The other thing I have
kids
to say, and this isn't, this doesn't apply to all kids, but when I was in one of the baby care centers one time, a mom came in and she had a teenage daughter. The girl was severely disabled. She was in a wheelchair, and the cast members in there handled helping out this mom so incredibly well. And I heard the mom say, you know, thank you so much, my daughter. You know, obviously she is paralyzed. She can't move. And, you know, this is the one place we can take her where they can help. And the reason they can is they have these changing tables that could support an adult. And so if you're someone who has, you know, someone in that situation, a kid in that situation, you can be helped there too. So it's not just for babies.
And yeah, and if not at the baby care center, they're usually right next door to the first aid center, which would have
I just thought that was I thought that was really wonderful, because the cast member who was in there, she was on the college program. She was very young, and she handled that lady's situation really well and gave that young girl a lot of dignity, which is incredibly impressive. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, the changing tables that they have, they are big. They're very clean. They have fresh sheets of paper. It's so much better than the bathrooms. I make a strong effort to use the baby care centers. Mm-hmm. I love the quiet room for nursing. You go in there, they've got rocking chairs and it's dimly lit. It's just lovely. It's closed off, so, you know, people coming in and out, they're not going to see what you're doing. And they've got high chairs if you need to feed your child. They have microwaves so you can heat up formula or baby food. You know, sinks to clean things out. It's just, it's so, they thought of everything.
Yeah, it's a really good idea.
It's unfortunate that there is only one in each park, and mm-hmm. the locations aren't necessarily convenient.
No,
well,
they're not.
I don't think they're that bad.
Epcot's not bad.
The one in the Magic.
Epcot's probably the best. I mean, at the Magic Kingdom, it's going to be by the Crystal Palace restaurant.
No, that's totally convenient. That's totally convenient, because you're going. It's not out of the way. It's near the hub.
Yeah,
it's near the hub. So that's not bad.
It's not.
The, you know, in between World Showcase and, you know, the
Future World.
It's right by the first aid.
I think that's convenient. And then studios,
it's right. This is inconvenient, I think, because it's right as you walk in on the left hand side. It's with guest services.
Mm-hmm. That one, not so much.
Kind of convenient, because
yeah, that's not great.
Toy Story or something, backlot. Yeah, that's not really convenient.
And Animal Kingdom is
also
a pain.
Not convenient. Yeah, because it's over by in Africa, I think.
It's by
Pizza Safari.
Yeah, it's near there.
So
actually, that is probably the only one that's not what I would call roomy. The other ones seem to have, there's plenty of room. I've never gone in there and had to have like a long wait to use a change of table or felt like it was crowded. Mm-hmm. So
I do also want to point out that some of them, I think it's, you know what, I can't even place it. But one of the parks has one where you can buy replacement clothes. And it is Mickey and Minnie, but you can buy onesies just in case something mm-hmm. gets soiled. But they have clothing available as well. But some of the centers offer more than others. But they're all going to have the basics. They're going to have your baby medicine, your formula, diapers, wipes. Help me out. What else?
Well, they have in baby food, basically yep, everything you're going to need. But the bottom line is bring it with you. Yep. You know, if you've got a stroller, you've got a little basket underneath, and you can do, some moms are really organized. They pack a daily thing where they've got a Ziploc bag with X number of diapers, their wipes, everything they're going to need. They just have to toss it in there. And the nice thing is that it's highly unlikely that somebody's going to steal your diapers while you're in, you know, away from your stroller. So, oh, one thing I think we need to mention is about the strollers, going back to that, not to change the subject so abruptly, but waiting in line for characters and for the attractions in general with strollers. You can't do it.
Oh, right.
Right. And there's stroller parking near the attractions.
That's a hard thing. If you have, you know, two children who are still in the stroller, or like you're like me and you have twins, that is really difficult. And I know that the one night we were in Hollywood Studios and I didn't know the rule, and my twins were pretty young then, and I had gone, and I went up to the line and I asked the cast member if I could go up with the twins in the stroller. And she's like, yeah, go ahead. I get all the way to the front and the cast member there said, you can't go. You can't go any farther. So because I had the stroller, and I swear I was like, are you kidding? Because, of course, at that point, the twins, you know, they could see Buzz Lightyear. And, yeah, so just that's something to know, especially if you're by yourself. It's very hard to manage two toddlers in line. So
I was going to say, what if your child gets sick?
Right.
Steve, you want to share?
Well, we had Amber, and we were at what were with the land.
Yep.
Pavilion.
Yep.
And
it was her first trip.
Oh yeah, it was her first trip to Disney World. Mm-hmm. And we were staying at Port Orleans.
Mm-hmm. How old was she?
She was
two. Was she like two?
Mm-hmm.
And she I guess she threw up on me the first time. I can't remember.
Yeah.
I remember standing in the land pavilion. Then I remember I think she threw up on the ground while we were standing in line in the queue line.
Oh my.
So Lisa took her to the bathroom. And then cleaned her up, and then she was bringing her back, and she reached for me. And as she reached for me, she like threw up all over me.
Oh Lord!
It was.
I was like covered.
Oh.
And then we had to quickly get out of Epcot, which is very difficult.
Yeah, it was. It was nine. We got there at 9, and it was 10:30. We were out of the park by 10:30.
But I guess now that we know, and now that we do vacations for a lot of people, that there's doctors that actually come to the hotels, and we actually put pamphlets in all the packets that we send out for that service.
Yeah, whether it's an ear infection or a stomach ache and you really don't want to leave your room, the doctors will go to your room. You call them, and they will take care of you.
Yeah, and if you happen to have a car, which a lot of people don't, then you can actually drive to somewhere as well. But I think we on this trip we probably didn't have a car, and so we did the Magical Express.
We
did. At Port Orleans.
We did the Magical Express. I remember that.
Yeah,
that was fun.
So it does make it a little tough if you're used to having a car and go without one, and then have to try to figure out how you can get a taxi cab or a doctor in the room if you think you need it. But for luckily she had like a 24-hour flu. She woke up the next morning and was jumping around on the bed and ready to go, and she was fine from then on.
Yeah. Well, it helped that we were traveling with two nurses. Let's see. Any other aspects? So if your kid does get sick, there are first aid stations in each of the parks. And if you are at the resort, there are 24-hour call services that you can get a doctor that will call you back, and they will come to your room and help you out if you're not able to go out. And they've got little clinics in Orlando, very, very convenient to all of the resorts. So if you have a car, that works out too.
And if you're traveling, just pack a few little things, maybe some kids' NyQuil or Tylenol or just
kids'
a
NyQuil.
Kids' NyQuil.
Yeah, that's a great idea, Steve.
Steve obviously isn't in charge of the medicine.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
Some margarita mix.
Wow. Oh, that's funny.
But yeah, we have some Motrin and some baby Tylenol type stuff. And what?
They told me it was for kids.
Yeah.
Like eight hours later, they wake up.
That's not what the mini bar is for. Well, speaking of, you know, what to pack and stuff, I'm completely out of order, but I was also just thinking that, you know, that long ride on the airplane, or the long ride in the car, make sure that you pack snacks and things for the kids to do, especially for a plane ride. Otherwise, you're going to get looks left and right. But the kids, you know, they're not going to have a long attention span. So bring plenty of things for them to do, especially with all the electronics available today. It shouldn't be too hard. But, you know, coloring books and games and, depending on how old they are, some books.
We try to premiere a movie that they haven't seen. Like, we'll hold off on buying something, like, even if it's, you know, like, I know they're going to release Cars 2 sometime in the fall, probably, but I won't buy it until right before our trip that we could premiere it on the way down. So that's kind of something new for them, you know, to see.
Oh, I want to ride with Chris.
Yeah, in the minivan. With all my kids.
The movie premiere.
It's not like on the Disney Cruise Line, but, you know, we do what we can.
Yeah. Do you show it at midnight?
It's probably going to be shown pretty early.
That would be a very, very good movie premiere. I had to sit through Mars Needs Moms. Disney Cruise. Okay.
So bitter about that.
Hey, where is the 90 minutes of my life that I am never, ever going to get back?
Bob, I'm sure I've spent at least 90 minutes listening to you complain about the dining plan, and I'm not going to get that back. So,
and yet you're going to hang out with me again in like 19 days.
When you're not talking about Disney, apparently you're real nice.
No, it's Donna. I'm going to hang out with his wife.
That's true. Yeah, she is. She didn't really care for me.
Nah.
This is because I called her an Ewok.
Oh yeah.
No.
I thought she was a raspberry tart or something.
Yeah, raspberry tart.
Raspberry tort.
Tort.
No, what was it? I think you told me today you're a blueberry muffin now.
Yes, my daughter has changed my name to Blueberry Muffin. Thank you.
Okay. I like it.
I do too.
Does your hair smell like blueberries too?
Not yet, no.
Like those little...
Are you like Lotso Bear?
Yeah.
Can I just say the strawberry shortcake dolls, they really stink.
They have
this fake fruity smell, and it just, it's bad. It
I almost like them.
Do you really?
I do.
Ooh, yeah, no, they smell like car air freshener to me.
Well, I think we've covered, we probably haven't, but we covered a lot. I'm not going to say all, but we covered a lot of the aspects that are involved with kids and their first trip to Disney. You know what we just didn't cover is all the videos that can prepare you, and we covered that on the last podcast a little bit, but I can't
save
believe
that for
we
another show.
Yeah, I can't believe we didn't cover any of that, but again, we can worry about that later because we need to keep this to a reasonable length. We're going to jump in with a listener question, and Steve, what do you have?
So Dina posted on our Facebook page that she wanted to know about Chico over at the Animal Kingdom Lodge. Any reviews, or has anybody eaten there?
I actually have eaten there on, I think it was my last trip. Donna and I ate there. Actually, reviews for Chico are overall very, very positive if you look online. Chico is the signature restaurant at Animal Kingdom Lodge. It literally means the cooking place. I would say it's more... African/American infused cuisine versus just traditional African cuisine. Inside, I found the it's really elegant and very nice for a romantic dinner. The lighting is recessed. The woods are darker. Orange and red and brown colors, very, I guess, again, African theme, or that's kind of what you think about. Even though the restaurant is large, the tables are spaced a decent amount, enough apart that you feel like you can communicate with, you know, your party and you know, you're not listening to noise or conversations from other tables. there are two large wood-burning ovens right inside the middle there, and you can look at the chefs cooking. Jigo is known for a very, very impressive wine list. They have about 67 wines that you can order by the glass, and one of the largest collections of wines from South Africa that you'll find anywhere in the country. The menu does change here from time to time. So some of the things you're going to see now are things like grilled wild Gulf shrimp curry with citrus coconut basmati, grilled marinated lamb with chickpea and chorizo, I'm surely mispronouncing this, but sikhumbuzo peri peri chicken with herb crushed potatoes, French beans, and mango sambal. And I guess one of the most popular dishes there is the oat grilled filet mignon with adult mac and cheese. I can tell you that when Donna and I ate there, I had the filet mignon and she had the peri peri chicken. The filet mignon was cooked excellent, exactly as I ordered it, medium, very tender, flavorful, not spicy at all. The mac and cheese, I don't, people rave about it being more adult. I think it tastes like Kraft mac and cheese. Mm. Like the adult Kraft mac and cheese, but still.
Adult Kraft mac and cheese?
Yeah, there actually is. Adult with like different flavors. Yeah, like as far as like four cheese and,
bacon.
Possibly bacon. But yeah, there are different. But yeah, the mac and cheese was nothing special, but the filet mignon was very good. Her peri peri chicken, our server told us, was just a little bit spicy. I think it really depends on your tolerance and how you handle it. She said it was had a nice kick and nice flavor. My mouth was on fire with one bite, but I'm not one for spicy food. The bread that they give you to accompany the meal is very, very good. Service is excellent. It seems like, the servers only, serve, maybe three or four tables at a time. So, they were constantly there with, are you enjoying your meal? Is there anything else we can get you? Refilling water and soda and whatnot. So very, very nice. Doesn't have the view that Sanaa over at Kidani is going to have. I mean, Kidani overlooks, has the large glass windows and overlooks the savannah. Jiko basically overlooks the outside of the resort. And so, you're seeing, people walking around outside and, on their way to the pool and stuff. So not the best view if you're looking out the window. But the restaurant itself is very impressive. Prices for the entrees are going to run you maybe about $28 on the low end to about 40-ish on the high end. Your appetizer is typically $10, $12. And then your desserts, $9, $10 average price for a dessert. I don't think you'll be disappointed if you're looking for something a little bit different, a little bit, out of the ordinary, something that you wouldn't necessarily find, maybe where you live. Jiko will fit the bill.
Nice little review. Good job.
Thank you.
We haven't been, so we have to try that one.
I do recommend it.
We'll have to do that on date night, though.
Mm. I'm looking forward to date night.
That will wrap it up for this week's show. Thank you to pixievacations.com for sponsoring this podcast. You can download our shows at mousechat.net and also from iTunes. Please send us your comments and questions to comments@mousechat.net. Join us again here next week on Mouse Chat.